From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us. Thank you for bringing us into your car, your radio, wherever you might be listening, across the fruited plain. All right, a lot happening here, and it is true, ladies and gentlemen, this was not an AI image. President Donald J. Trump on the roof of the White House, the roof, the president holding a press conference. He was taking a survey of where the new addition, you know, he's building a ballroom at his own expense. It's beautiful. It's going to be a beautiful $200 million ballroom that will be the greatest ballroom in ballroom history. And the president scoping out the lay of the land as he would be as a real estate developer. And the president in a great mood. I don't know, how did he get up on the roof is what I'm trying to figure out. But anyway, the reporters are like, you know, wandering around eating their nachos or whatever. And they're like, holy crap, the president is on the roof, the roof. And he took questions. This is the most transparent administration in the history of the Republic, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, president having a good time, and it's going to look great. You know, he's have you seen the makeover of the Rose Garden? You know, there was a lot of people were upset that the President Trump paved it over with concrete. It was a grassy, you know, garden because it was, well, a garden. But the problem is they were doing a lot of these events, and if it rains, it gets muddy, and the women, even if it's in dry weather, the women trying to walk in their high heels, and they get stuck in the dirt, in the grass. And nobody likes that. It's not a good look. And so Trump decided to do a redesign, and some people are saying it's not very good. I'm indifferent. I think it's better than what they had, but it was interesting because the grates, the storm drains, are designed to look like American flags, and then in each corner you have the presidential seal, and the rest of it is just, well, basically white concrete. So there you have it. So all that to say, it's not costing us any money, and the president has a pretty good eye. I mean, if you've been in his hotels, and I've stayed at normally if there's a Trump International Hotel at the city I'm speaking at or doing an event in, I'm normally staying at a Trump International. And the reason why is that the service is beyond anything you will ever experience. And let me say that if you ever get the opportunity just to spend the night at a Trump resort, at a Trump hotel, you should do that. And you will walk away just so impressed. There's really something special, something patriotic, something American about being able to sit and flush a gold commode. You don't get that anywhere else, folks, but you do right here in America. And that's what makes America great. I'm getting a little misty. But I'm telling you, it's remarkable. I remember the first time I walked in, I thought I had been transported into some paradise. Chandeliers in the bathroom. Who does that? Well, Donald J. Trump does. And they have a nice little spread for you. It's very nice. Yes, even better, Dylan, than the Ritz-Carlton, which is slipping a little bit these days. But I digress. Anyway, President Trump having a good time on the roof of the White House, and hopefully he'll get down safely. Poor Secret Service guys, you know, they're having a heart attack. But it's Donald Trump. What are you going to do? So, look, we could be having the arrest of lawmakers in Texas, and I'm hoping that happens. And we've got to start sending messages to these people that we're not going to let them run roughshod over the Constitution. And late yesterday, the Democrats violated the deadline that Governor Greg Abbott set for them to get their behinds back to Texas. And the reason why is because they don't want to give Republicans a quorum so they can vote on the redistricting, which is called, you know, gerrymandering in some cases. And what's ironic about all of this is that the horrified, enraged Democrats actually relocated to a state which is notorious for gerrymandering districts for the advantage, rather, of their party, the Democrat Party. It's true. Now, we're going to, a little bit later on, I want to give you a little background information on what's really going on in Texas. This is not a matter of just the Republicans getting control and redrawing these congressional districts. There's more to it, and they actually have a Supreme Court decision that backs up what they're doing. And it was a result of this Supreme Court decision that the House, or that the Republicans in Texas, are doing what they are doing now. But we'll get into more of that in just a little while. Have you heard the video? We're not going to play it because the chick is speaking Spanish, and we're an English speaking radio program. But you had a lawmaker from Illinois, and Ramirez is her name, and Ramirez is drawing a lot of controversy because she says that her first allegiance is not to the United States of America. Dalia Ramirez is her name, and she says that her first allegiance is actually to Guatemala. No, I am not making this up. There is video. She's speaking at a conference, and she's speaking in Spanish. She's a Democrat from Illinois. And she was born in Chicago, but her parents are Guatemalans. And on this program, I get a lot of text messages about this. Starnes, why do you always mispronounce the name of Guatemala? It's not Guatemala, it's Guatemala. The G, you have to enunciate the G, Starnes. What's wrong with you? Well, I've done some research on this, ladies and gentlemen. And it's my understanding that the G is silent, kind of like guacamole. No, Starnes, that's guacamole. What are you talking about? No. We want to be sensitive. We want to be sensitive to our friends and our neighbors south of the border in the less fortunate part of the hemisphere. And one of the ways we do that is to make sure that we pronounce their names correctly. So anyway, this gal, her mommy and daddy, Senor and Senora Ramirez, were born in Guatemala. She is the daughter of Guatemalan immigrants and an American citizen by birthright. This is according to a news release that she has since put out. So here's what she said. She said the following: I am a proud Guatemalan before I'm an American. So this woman is claiming allegiance to a foreign country over the United States of America. Now, look, if she were just a regular run-of-the-mill illegal alien, I would not be shocked by that. But the mere fact that she was born in America and the fact that she is a member of Congress, she's a member of the House of Representatives, this is rather shocking. Quite frankly, very shocking. The Department of Homeland Security also shared the quote. And when DHS shared the quote on their X page, they actually referenced a quote by the late, great Theodore Roosevelt. And here's what Roosevelt said. There is no room in this country for hyphenated Americanism. Americanism is a matter of the spirit and the soul. Our allegiance must be purely to the United States. We must unsparingly condemn any man who holds any other allegiance. Now, Congressman Andy Ogles, our good friend from Tennessee, says the Congress gal should be deported. However, Senorita Congresswoman is actually an American citizen. So I don't know that we can deport her, but it's not a bad thought. I do think at the very least she should be removed from Congress, because this woman with this statement, speaking in Spanish, she has violated her oath of office. Her oath is to the United States of America, not Guatemala or any other south of the border country. I'm just telling you. So anyway, people are pushing back, and Ramirez is especially upset. But I think this woman hates America. She loves Guatemala, and quite frankly, she should go there. She should go there. If that's where your first elite, and here's the problem. So now we know that every piece of legislation that she considers, her first question will be, how does this benefit my home country? Not America. How does this benefit my home country? We're seeing that now with Ilhan Omar, the Muslim who allegedly married her brother and has pledged allegiance to Somalia, which, by the way, is the nation that her family fled from. Had they stayed, they probably would have been killed. But we opened up our arms to these people, and what do? They spit in our face. I'm getting sick of that, to be honest with you. So anyway, the Congresswoman, Senorita Ramirez, says this in a statement. Let's call what it... I can't do that. Sorry. I didn't do well in Spanish in school. So I will read this with my God-given American far superior accent. Let's call it what it is. Today's attacks are a weak attempt to silence my dissent and invalidate my patriotic criticism of the nativist, white supremacist authoritarians in government. You know what? Shut up, lady. Just shut up. Dylan, can you find out how to say that in Spanish? You big, muy loco senorita. It is the definition of hypocrisy that members of Congress who betray their oath each day they enable Trump are attacking me for celebrating my Guatemalan American roots. You're not a hyphenated American, lady. You're either an American or you're not. And I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I am done with the hyphens. I'm done with it. It's meant to divide the country. Come on. Now, she goes on. She says, no one questions when my white colleagues identify as Irish-American, Italian-American, or Ukrainian-American to honor their ancestry. Let me stop here for a moment. Okay, but they're not pledging allegiance to Ireland or Italy or Ukraine. Well, most of the Republicans are, but the rest of you folks, they're not. The woman goes on, I've consistently expressed pride in my heritage and history, a pride also often reflected in the origin stories of my colleagues. Only those who believe America should not include the children of immigrants or be diverse would attack me and Americans like me for honoring my roots. So she's playing the victim here. But the woman openly said, Guatemala comes first. America comes second. And by the way, isn't that the mantra of the Democrat Party? Is that Americans, we come second. We don't matter anymore. We don't matter. That's really what she's saying. So anyway, I think the woman needs to go. I think we need to have a serious conversation. And she's somewhat of an anomaly because she was born in America, allegedly. But I think we do need to have a conversation about who we elect to office in this country. Because we need people on Capitol Hill that are looking out for the interest of law-abiding American citizens. Not some south of the border, far inferior country. That's me. What say you? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And could somebody please speak English here? Friends, I want to tell you about a new movie. It's called Sketch, and it's the latest from our good friends over at Angel Studios, the folks who are committed to bringing faith-based, family-friendly entertainment back to the big screen. Now, this one's a real treat. Sketch is imaginative, heartwarming, and just plain fun. Picture Stranger Things meets Inside Out, only clean, uplifting, and packed with values you can actually feel good about sharing with your kids. It's the story of a little girl whose sketchbook falls into a mysterious pond, and suddenly all her drawings come to life. It's got excitement, a little suspense, and a whole lot of laughs. If you're already a premium Angel Guild member, your two free tickets to Sketch are ready and waiting. If you're not, well, now's the time. Sign up today and see Sketch in theaters starting August 6th. Plus, you'll get access to Angel Studios' entire streaming library, content that reflects your values, honors your faith, and uplifts your family. If you're tired of the junk Hollywood keeps churning out and you're ready to support movies that are wholesome, meaningful, and made with heart, head over to angel.com/starns and become a premium Angel Guild member today. All right, welcome back. We did some checking in the break. Caliente! Caliente! That means put the shunt to the up. Senorita Ramirez. I love America, ladies and gentlemen. It is truly the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And it angers me when I see people coming here. And the whole point of coming here is to take the best of your culture and bring it. And it's absorbed, right? We are this giant melting pot of cultures. But really, for the past 25, 30 years, the immigrants, many of the immigrants, not all, but many who have come here, do not want to do that. They basically want to replicate their old country here, which is why parts of Minnesota look like Somalia, which is why Memphis, Tennessee, my hometown, looks like, you know, Mogadishu on the Mississippi. It's terrible. And it's really sad when you have, and to compound the problem, you've got all of these, 20, 30, 40 million illegals that have resettled here, and many of them have no desire to make America great. They want to take from America and send it back to their inferior countries. And I say that because if their countries are so great, they would stay there. If their countries were great, people would be breaking into their country, violating their sovereignty, but they're not doing that. But I love America. America is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And we have a responsibility to put the well-being of the United States ahead of everything else, including our allies. And a lot of people are forgetting that. And that bothers me. I am a devout supporter of the nation of Israel and the UK and our European, all of our allies. But the reality is we have to put our interest first. We've got to look after our own people first. Let me ask you this. Do you think we're getting real here for a moment. Do you think the Israelis are looking out for us? Looking out for what's happening in our communities, in our neighborhoods? No, they're looking out for their people. Same thing over at the UK. Oh, by the way, have you heard the number one name in the UK now is Muhammad. Muhammad has now overtaken, this is from the BBC, Muhammad has overtaken Noah as the most popular boy's name. Anybody surprised by that? I'm not terribly surprised. So there you go. We have a responsibility to defend America. We have a responsibility to defend American culture. And I don't know about you, but the hyphens bother me. They've always bothered me. And it doesn't matter who you are. When you come here, you should be an American. Teddy Roosevelt is right. Because when you hyphenate, you begin to separate yourself from everybody else. I mean, I guess we could be, I could identify as a Southern American, but why would I? I'm an American. I'm an American, a proud American, and you ought to be too. Come on. And speak the language for crying out loud. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You got a problem with those hyphenations? We'll be right back. A generation of children in El Salvador are lost to malnutrition, and the only way to a better future is through a school feeding program. Join me, Todd Stearns, in Saving Lives with Food for the Poor. When you click the Feed Their Future banner at ToddStearns.com, your gift of $100 will provide a child in El Salvador with daily school nutrition for a year. Call 855-353-4673 and make your most generous gift. The nutrition these children get in school is often their only meal of the day. Food for the Poor's school nutrition program effectively addresses malnutrition and increases children's school attendance. Your donation will also support local farmers who produce the nutritional supplements that are needed to improve children's nutrition in El Salvador. Your gift will allow them to focus on learning rather than worrying about their next meal. Today, you have the power to feed a child or an entire classroom for a year. Click the blue banner at ToddStearns.com or call 855-353-4673 with a gift of $100 to feed their future. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines. 901-260-5926. Bruce in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN today. Hi, Bruce. What's on your mind?
Good morning to you. I actually met you when you broadcast from the station in Gainesville, but I had wanted to call in yesterday with this suggestion, getting ahead of your topic, which you're on today, English in America. People that can't speak English, that have been here 6 months or 6 years or 20 years. They're constantly interviewing these people that ICE is detaining, and they've been here 18 years, and they're pleading a story like the lady with the electric plant at GE yesterday couldn't speak English. If you can speak English, like President Trump started this program for self-deporting, giving them $1,000 when they get there, let's start a program that if ICE comes for you and you're here illegally, if you can communicate with them in English, you get to stay and go through the legal process. If you can't speak English, then you get hauled off immediately. And I guarantee you that a whole bunch of them will learn English right away. And the second thing is, in the city I'm in Buford, there's a very heavy Hispanic population. And I have come up with a solution. When they come to me and say, no, speak English, I have a one-word reply. Why? And that's all I say to them.
Wow. What do they say in response to that?
They look at you in amazement, and everybody around that hears me say it cracks up laughing because it is the perfect response. Why don't you speak it? You're here earning a living, purchasing goods, sending your money back to another country. Why don't you know English? So those are my two suggestions. Everybody should start doing that. Anybody that says no speak English, ask them why, and just stand there. And the other part is have President Trump do an executive order and send it down through the Justice Department. If ICE comes for you and you can't speak English and communicate in English, you get hauled away right away. But if you can speak to them and communicate to them, then you get to stay and go through the legal process.
You know, Bruce, I actually like this idea a whole lot. And, I mean, it's a pretty simple thing, right? Why don't you speak English? And some of these folks, here's what gets me, Bruce. And we saw this happen in Memphis, about a month or so ago. There was a guy and, you know, they came and he's illegal and he's been here 20, 30 years. And the guy can't speak a lick of English. Why didn't you try over the 20 or 30 years that you were here to at least learn how to say, how y'all doing, or something?
I agree. Learn the language, and why haven't they done something? They know they were here illegally. Why haven't they done something to make themselves legal? I have no sympathy for somebody here, the college girl or the person that's been here 20 years, a great citizen, they're all claiming. Why can't they speak English? I have no sympathy for that whatsoever.
You know, it's interesting, Bruce, that it is not it's not illegal for an illegal, you know, to require, it's not a law. So maybe we do need a law on the books that if you want to come to America, you've got to at least have a rudimentary working of the English language.
Well, in order to become a citizen of this great country, that is one of the requirements. You have to be able to read and speak English, which leads me to my next point. Why are we printing ballots for voting in 3, 5, 7, 10, 12 different languages? That has escaped me for years. I lived in South Florida. You don't want to know how many different languages Dade County prints their ballots in. If you're legal to vote and you're a citizen legal to vote, then you should be able to work from an English ballot.
Well, you're right about this, Bruce, that if you want to become a citizen, you have to be able to speak, understand, and write basic English. And to your point, if that is in fact the case, then why do we need all of these ballots in other language? But it also tells us something else, Bruce, that these people, these illegals, they have no desire to become a U.S. citizen because they're not learning the language.
They have no interest in assimilating, like you said about a half an hour ago. They want to come here, set up their own enclave. They even want to set up their own legal systems and congregate like that. Maybe it's taking over the country from within. I don't know. But they have no interest like your parents and grandparents wanting to become American, part of this country.
Well,
and that's what it boils down to.
Bruce, you know, to that point, my great-grandparents came here from Germany. They were escaping the atrocities of World War One, and they learned the language. My grandfather joined the military. He served in World War II. But there was an effort, you're right, of a certain generation of immigrants. You came here and you learned the language. Now, it may not be the King's English, and that's okay, but at least you're trying to assimilate.
Yep, and I know it's not a law like you just said. However, if we give them the incentive, like he's giving the incentive to self-deport, give them the incentive that if ICE comes for you or catches you and you can't communicate in English, they can haul you up, put you in the cuffs right away. But if you can at least communicate with them, you get registered and you get to go through the legal system to present your case why you should stay. That would be an incentive for a whole bunch of people to learn English.
Bruce, we're gonna throw that out to the audience and see what they have to say. Look, thank you for calling in. It's a great point you're bringing up. And Bruce says whenever he runs into an illegal or anybody that can't speak English, that's the first question is why. And they just look at, you know why they just look at him? They can't speak English. They don't know what the poor guy's saying.
Okay. Housekeeping?
No, I think this is a great idea that he's come up with. And what better way, ladies and gentlemen, to incentivize people? But that's got to be, I had no idea they were printing ballots in different languages. It seems to me the ballots, English only. Let's go to Sunny in Ocala, Florida, WOCA. Sunny, it's been a while. Hope you're doing good. What's going on?
All right, thank you, Ted. You look at your Medicare statement. I guess anybody who's on Medicare, or, you know, past 65, you're on Medicare. You look at the last page. You can get help in 20 different languages.
What?
Your Medicare.
What in Medicare? You're telling me that Medicare, over 20 different languages?
Yes, everything from Arabic, two types of Arabic, which is Arabic and Farsi, French, and then French Creole. It's unbelievable. I mean, we're aiding our taxpayer dollars help these people stay illiterate as far as our language is concerned.
That's just unacceptable.
And they have interpreters for them. They tell you to call this number, and you can get an interpreter for the language you came here with. It boggles my mind. Why Medicare? Don't you have to pay into Medicare to get Medicare?
Well, yes.
Medicare. We need to get 20 different languages for these people, including Russian. You know, to me, it's unbelievable.
Sonny, you see what's going on now, though, don't you? I mean, with the ballots in different languages, with what you've just said with Medicare in different languages, they are aiding and abetting these illegals. And again, if you are a law-abiding, you know, if you're a naturalized U.S. citizen, you've got to be able to read, speak, and understand basic English. So that's not for them. This is for all the illegals and the others that are coming into our country, and they have no inclination of assimilating.
But yet they can get the vote somehow or the other. All they need is a driver's license. This is unbelievable to me.
Wow. That's
the largest, as far as I'm concerned, the largest, most dangerous anti-American government in the world is in Washington, D.C. when they do this to the American people.
Sonny, thank you for that one. That's just stunning. But again, ladies and gentlemen, you now understand the depth and the magnitude of what Trump is dealing with here. And the great news is we've cut down just in the first 7 months of the Trump presidency, we've cut down illegal border crossings. They're down to just about zero. So now it's just a matter of going in and rooting out people and getting them deported. There's a big problem right now in California where the teachers are afraid that the illegals are not going to send their kids to school because they'll be picked up by ICE. And look, that's something you got to think about. But when you're here illegally, there's a price to pay. Let's go to Keith in Statesville, North Carolina. Hi, Keith. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Eric Wilson's friend here. Hey, you know, I deal with some of those guys on a monthly basis, and they'll come up to me and no speak English, and the first thing I say to them is nice shoes. They'll all look down. They can understand what you're saying. They can speak English. They don't want to.
So you're thinking they're faking it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what they all do.
Ah.
You say nice shoes, they'll all look down. They can understand you, and they can speak English. They just don't want to deal with you.
That's interesting. So they're trying to pull a fast one over on us, is what you're saying, Keith. Have you experienced this firsthand?
Yeah, I deal with them with a rental hall. We let them have the Ken Sierras and the, you know, their other whatever they call it party there, and you know, they'll all tell you no speak English, but you say nice shoes, they'll look straight down. They know what you're saying, and they can speak English. They just don't want to.
Okay. All right. That's good to know, Keith. That's good to know. All right, Keith, got to run, my friend. Thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926. By the way, James Comey, over at Comer. I get those two confused. It drives me nuts. Anyway, we have subpoenas that have officially been issued. And soon, very soon, people like William Jefferson Clinton, Hillary Rodham Clinton, and others are going to be summoned before Congress. So subpoenas have officially gone out. So now the question is, who exactly is going to show up? And that's a big question mark right now. So Hillary Clinton, I mean, the whole conglomerate, all of them have been issued subpoenas. Now, I want to say something about this before we go to break. And pardon me, I was just distracted by a smidge of news that I'll share when we get back from the break. The House Oversight Committee issuing subpoenas to James Comey, the Clintons, Merrick Garland, Jeff Sessions, Loretta Lynch, Eric Holder, the whole gamut, Robert Mueller, all of them. So here's the thing. They're not going to show up. None of them are going to show up. They're just going to ignore the subpoenas. So my question is, what do the Republicans do if that happens? I mean, what do you want to see happen here? Because in the past, well, if they don't show, they don't show, and life goes on, and they hope that you forget all about all of this. And by the way, this is all in connection to the Epstein files. And they want them to testify under oath about Epstein. Now, hear me on this. There's got to be payback here. What they did to Peter Navarro, what they did to Steve Bannon. Now, those two guys, they refused to honor a congressional subpoena, refused to testify. before, quite frankly, a sham committee. But regardless, they refused to testify. They didn't show up. And what happened? They all got sentenced to 4 months in federal prison. So it seems to me, ladies and gentlemen, that there should be zero, zero mercy here. This is all about justice. And this is also about teaching the Democrats a lesson. You see, the Democrats are a lot like the Islamic radicals, right? The Islamic radicals, they don't respond. They don't respond to niceties, right? You've got all these folks wanting to go out there, like the LGBT crowd. You got all these transgender people and the lesbians with the purple hair, and they want to go out there and march with the Palestinians. The Palestinians don't want them there. If they were in the Middle East, they'd be thrown off buildings. The only thing the Islamic radicals respond to is brute force. And that's how the Democrats have been running roughshod over the Republicans. And that's why the Democrats behaving the exact same way. The Republicans, on the other hand, they're just meek. Well, Hillary, if you just promise not to do it again, if you promise to be nice, if you just let us come to your next cocktail party, well, we'll just look the other way. Okay. No, those days are over, ladies and gentlemen. Those days are long gone. We got to play hardball with these people. And hear me, if the Democrats realize, holy crap, if we pull this kind of garbage again, we could be going to the slammer, they're going to think twice about doing it. But if we turn a blind eye to this, it's over. And I don't even care about, look, President Trump, he's a nice guy. He doesn't want to see these people go to jail. Well, maybe he does now after what they did to him. But if Trump had played hardball with these people in the first place, they would have rethought all of the other attacks. So I say we've got to punch, and we've got to punch hard. You don't show up, you go to jail. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last. Guys, had the Dubai chocolate yet? It seems to be the big craze around the country. Dubai chocolate. It's chocolate, I guess, made in Dubai. And it's got pistachio cream. Sorry, I'm sure there's a better way to describe that, but delicious milk chocolate. No, the reason I'm asking is a couple of days ago, there was a big story about IHOP, the International House of Pancakes, and they are serving up these Dubai chocolate pancakes. Now, they can cost as much as $130, which is a little pricey for IHOP, the International House of Pancakes. So the deluxe version of the pancakes, they sprinkle it with the gold, edible gold, but it comes with the pistachio cream and shredded, phyllo dough. It sounds good. Anyway, I was just curious. It's apparently all the craze now, and I checked in with our friends over at Dinstuhl's Chocolates, the finest chocolatier in the southern states, based right here in Memphis, Tennessee, family-owned chocolate shop, and apparently it's all the rage which I've said like five times now, so I'll stop saying that. Otherwise, it'll become a drinking game. So anyway, I'm just curious if you guys have had it. I'm not a big chocolate guy, but I could be coaxed into sampling something from Dubai. Is that like Muslim chocolate? Or I don't know. It's got to be good, though. All right. Hang tight. Hour two of the big show coming up. Our good buddy Josh Jones drops by. Sydney Sweeney back in the news. We'll be right back, everybody.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here. And you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, my homies. Hi, everybody. Todd Starnes here. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show. Some breaking news from New York City. I said some breaking news from New York City.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starnes Show.
Dylan, you need to go on another vacation to get over the vacation?
I need another cup of coffee.
I paid good money for that sounder.
You did.
I want to hear it again. We have breaking news from New York City.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starnes Show.
Golly, that kind of scared me there. They had another earthquake. This is like two earthquakes in a row. And what is it? Two earthquakes in 3 days in New York City, the Big Apple. No, Michael Moore did not fall down. He's not even in town. So come on, be nice. Be polite, people. No, I don't think Rosie O'Donnell's back either. 2.7, magnitude 2.7 earthquake. People feeling the tremors throughout New York City and New Jersey. As of now, no reports of significant damage. The other one was a little bit larger than that. And that was really freaking people out. What's going on? Is it like the end of the world? Are we at the end of days? Is that where we're at here? I don't know. You know, they have the earthquakes and the fires and the floods, the wars and the rumors of wars. Could someone please? Let's get Dr. Jeffress on the line. We may need an apocalypse update. So, anywho's, so that's that. Look, yeah, apparently, you know, I thought New York City was on a fault line. They're not on a fault line. They're in the middle of a plate, actually, which is really one of the best places to be. So this is kind of weird, but it is what it is. Everybody's okay. No need to worry. Oh, by the way, before I forget, heading to Knoxville this weekend, we're going to be speaking and signing books at the Gun Owners of America Conference. This is going to be at the Knoxville Convention Center. It all starts, it all kicks off on Saturday. They're expecting thousands of people from all over the country to be in Knoxville. It's going to be a lot of fun and looking forward to seeing you there. So if you are listening to us and you're going to be at the Gun Owners of America Convention, drop by, say hello, and I would love to be able to sign a copy of my books. We're going to have several books there, Twilight's Last Gleaming and Star-Spangled Blessing. So certainly hope that you drop by and say hello. Okay, here's the deal. We've got a development in this Texas situation. So you've got a bunch of rogue Democrat lawmakers. They left town, and the reason they left town is because the legislature was about to vote on a redistricting plan that would give 4 to 5 new congressional seats to the Republicans. Theoretically, these seats would go Republican. Now, here's the bombshell part of that is we're not talking about a bunch of white folks getting elected in Texas. We're talking about Hispanic. These are majority Hispanic districts. And that's really got the Democrats enraged. Anyway, here's Governor Greg Abbott, cut number one.
And that is what Texas is doing under these new maps. Four of the five new seats will be a majority Hispanic seats. One of the seats is going to restore the Barbara Jordan seat over in the Houston area. And so these are seats where Democrats are having to come to grips with the reality. And that is, they are now losing the votes of Hispanics and black voters in the state of Texas. And these districts are going to show that Hispanics and blacks, as well as others, are voting for Republican, and Republican is their candidate of choice. And we will ensure that will be achieved at the congressional level in the state of Texas.
And the Democrats are going muy loco, ladies and gentlemen. Muy loco. But you know who's really going muy loco? That would be Congresswoman Senorita Jasmine Crockett. Shuckin' and jivin'. Ow! Good God! Woo! Buenos dias! Muy loco! So, yes, Jasmine Crockett, she's going crazy, and the reason why is because, what did they put in the coffee? Cassie, what did Cassie put in the coffee this morning? The reason why Jasmine Crockett is going slap crazy is that she's about to be out of job. She is about to lose her job. The redistricting would actually relocate her home, so she would no longer be in the district that she ran in, and she's freaking out over that. And I think a lot of it is that she, you know, she just doesn't want to have to work down at the Walmart. And I get that. But that's the reality of her situation. Here's Jasmine Crockett, cut number 12.
And I'm sorry, but instead, we are not only going to punch you back, but we are going to knock you out. So I fully anticipate that we are going to take control of the United States House, because that is what the American people want. And that is why Donald Trump and his regime is so afraid.
We going to knock you out. We going to knock you out. We going to knock you out. That's Jasmine Crockett there. I mean, seems a little, I don't know, violent to me. Maybe she's got some anger issues she needs to work out there. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. President Trump asked about Jasmine Crockett earlier today, cut 13.
And I won the election in a landslide. And obviously that's only, you know, we're only 6 months in. But my poll numbers are better now, much better than during the election. And now part of that is because the Democrat Party is self-destructing. I mean, when you have low IQ people like Crockett, I wonder if she's in a relationship to the late, great Davy Crockett, who was a great gentleman. I wonder if she's got any relationship to Davy Crockett, the great old Davy Crockett. But you have this woman, Crockett. She's a very low IQ person. Somebody said the other day, she's one of the leaders of the party. I said, you got to be kidding. The Democrats are lost. They have Trump derangement syndrome so bad that they can't walk. They can't talk. I mean, they don't know where they're going.
I'm sorry. So I want to help the president out here. Mr. President, pretty certain that Davy Crockett is not related in any way to Jasmine Crockett. It's not impossible, but I'm fairly certain that the great Davy Crockett is of no relation. You know what, Dylan? You gotta find it. You gotta find me the Disney version of the Ballad of Davy Crockett. That was a great show back in the day. You gotta love President Trump throwing shade at Jasmine this morning, and he's right. She is a very low IQ person. I mean, the woman is very well educated at some of the most prestigious schools in the nation, but she's dumb as a rock. And that is not just unique to Jasmine Crockett. There are many others in the same boat. I would say that Pete Buttigieg comes to mind, being another very well educated stupid person. And that's really the problem with our federal government right now. We just have a lot of very well educated stupid people in our federal government. And that's unfortunate. Doesn't have to be that way, but it is. All right, our telephone number, write this down, ladies and gentlemen, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So we went on a bit of a tangent here, but I want to bring it back to what's happening in Texas, because we now understand Senator John Cornyn has written an official letter to the FBI asking for help in rounding up the rogue Democrat lawmakers. So here's the deal. Governor Abbott wants to have them arrested. Unfortunately, the Texas Rangers, they don't have any jurisdiction in Illinois. So they can't hop on their horses and gallop up to Chicago and round these people up. So that's where the FBI is coming into play. This could get very interesting, because I would love to see an FBI raid, guns drawn, on these lawmakers, wherever they're hiding at right now. You say, Todd, how can you say such a thing? Well, they did it to Donald Trump. You understand, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of what we are dealing with over these next 4 years is honest-to-goodness payback. Do unto others as they did to you. That's in the new revised Todd Stearns version of the Holy Bible and the political Bible. And if we don't stop the Democrats, if we do not punish them, they will not learn their lesson. It's just like, you have a cat, right? And you get the cat and you have a litter box, and you teach the kid, you teach the cat how to use the litter box, right? And then what happens when the cat coughs up a hairball or whatever a cat eats? And what do you do? And the cat doesn't make it to the litter box. You rub the cat's nose in the mess, and you say, bad kitty, bad kitty, and you pop it on the nose. And so then the cat learns its lesson, and the next time they cough up a hairball, well, they're going to do it in the litter box. Well, the same thing is happening right now with the Democrats. And the reality is that if the Republicans don't rub the nose of the Democrats in the big, big poo mess that they dumped on this country, then we're all hosed. That's all I'm trying to say. Does that make any sense at all? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, there are some people out there that say, you know what, Todd, you got to let bygones be bygones. No, we can't do this in politics. We have got to take a stand here. These are the same people who shut down our churches, the same people who shut down our schools and our small businesses, and they have to pay for that. They have to be taught a lesson. And if that means some of them go to jail, so be it. We'll be right back.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Born on a mountaintop in Tennessee. Green estate in the land of the free. Raised in the woods so he knew every tree. Killed him a bar when he was only three. Davy, Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier. Fought single-handed through the Indian War till the Creeks was whipped and the peace was in store. While he was handling this risky chore, made himself a legend forevermore.
Jazzy Crockett, queen of the Fogadjo.
Yee-hoo!
Do-si-do, Jasmine.
He'd give his word and he'd give his hand that his Indian friends could keep their land.
Oh, can we say that on the radio?
Took a stand.
Whoops.
That justice was due every redskin band.
Oh,
Davy, Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Do you know that song, Dylan? You know, this is, he's a great Tennessean, a great hero.
This is the first for me. I've heard this.
You've never heard the song?
I haven't.
This could be the, this should actually be the official state song of, but we've got so many great songs in Tennessee.
Yeah, it's true. Lots of good artists. But this, I mean, Davy Crockett, this is an older show, I assume.
It is. And, of course, Davy Crockett was back when the Mexicans invaded Texas, and there was that little dust up at the Alamo, and they hollered out for some help, and the Tennesseans came running, which is why we're known as the Tennessee Volunteers. Whenever there's a fight, they ask the Tennesseans to step in. And anyway, Davy Crockett lost his life there at the Alamo in San Antonio. But it was a great show back in the, was this in the 50s or 60s for Disney? We're trying to tie all this together. If you just joined us, President Trump asked if Jasmine Crockett was related to Davy Crockett, which I don't think he is. You see, Davy Crockett is king of the wild frontier, and Jasmine Crockett is queen of the faux gâteau. So she's faking it. She's a poser is what we're trying to say. All right. Thank you, Dylan. It's a nice little blast from the past. He had a he's the one that had the coonskin cap, or is that Daniel Boone? I get those two confused sometimes. Let's go to the phones. 901-260-5926. Steve in Little Rock, Arkansas. Steve, when you were a little fella, did you watch Davy Crockett on TV?
Yep. I had my coonskin cap and everything that I wore while I watched it.
So it was Davy Crockett who had the coonskin cap?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Wow. All right. Yep. I remember.
He was played by an actor named Fess Parker.
Was Fess Parker also in Gunsmoke?
No, that was Festus. That was an actor named Ken Curtis.
Wow. You know your Western.
I know my 1950s television. Thanks for how old I am.
Wow. Fess Parker. I haven't heard that name in a while.
Yeah. I know the answer to this, Todd. You know the answer to this, but I want to make a point out of this. During COVID, all these governors declared a state of emergency, and it just pretty well gave them free hand to do whatever they wanted to do. Change election laws, violate constitutional rights, lock people up, make people take experimental drugs. I mean, state of emergency, governor was king. Now you've got a bunch of legislatures or lawmakers that go AWOL on you, and that governor, I don't know what we can do about it. I guess we might do this. We might declare a damn state of emergency like you did during COVID. Do what you got to do and get on with your business. And when they finally come back to Texas, there'll be warrants sitting there waiting for them, and you can lock them up then.
I'd have the Texas Rangers at every entrance to the state, and I'd be hunting them down. But I'm with you know again I think they ought to pay a price, and I got no problem with having them thrown in jail. That's fine. The issue for me is vacating their positions. They are in violation of their oath of office. They should be removed, and then let's just move on with things.
What happens to a enlisted soldier? You take a 19-year-old kid just enlisted. If he goes AWOL, absent without leave, you know what happens to him? If he's out for less than 36 hours, he gets 30 days lockup and loses 2/3 of his pay. If he's out for over 36 hours, he gets a year in jail.
Well, I think we lost Steve there, but I think we got the gist of it, Steve, and appreciate you calling in there, my friend. Look, there is a price to pay. If you do not do your job, if you don't honor your oath of office, you got to pay a price. I mean, it really is that simple. Cut number two, please.
Gerrymandering is one of those things that everybody does. Like, the idea that Donald Trump made this up is, I think, kind of insane. I don't think you really think that. I mean, you know.
I definitely didn't say that.
They fled to Illinois, which is one of the most, you know, gerrymandered states states in the union. I happen to love this story because I love the political theater of it all. I love that they absconded. I love that now there are arrest warrants out. I think that the American people don't care at all about this. But what's most interesting to me about this is that these new five, you know, potential Republican-controlled districts are all majority Hispanic.
And there you go. And that's the bigger story here. And that's why the Democrats are enraged, because Hispanic voters are skewing conservative, both fiscally and culturally. Got to take a quick break here. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, we have a jam-packed show on Newsmax, the Todd Stern Show, 5 o'clock Eastern. By the way, Newsmax, millions of people joining our news revolution. We're now the fourth highest rated news channel, just behind CNN. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for shows like The Todd Stern Show and Rob Schmidt, Rob Finnerty. By the way, I want to encourage you to download our free Newsmax app on your smartphone. You can start watching right now. You can also check out the New York Stock Exchange, because Newsmax went public and you can purchase shares of Newsmax stock. How do you do that? Very simple. Go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. Before we go to our good friend Martha Zoller, I want to go to Jim in Memphis listening to us on KWAM, who wants to correct something I said. Jim, good to have you with us. What did I get wrong?
Good afternoon, Coach. How are you?
I'm well. I'm well, Jim. Thank you for asking.
it seemed to me, and of course it was a Texas class that I took some of the American history, but it seemed to me that Mexico owned Texas, and you had made the comment that Mexico invaded Texas.
Yeah,
they didn't invade them; they owned them, and there was a lot of problems between the Mexican government and all these groups who were coming in, groups of Americans who were taking over large parcels of land without checking as to if they were owned by Mexicans. And there are some other facets too that are too complicated to go into, but as I remember, they had it. we were moving into it.
Yeah, so technically you are right, because it was Mexican territory, but the Texans, and I was sort of siding with the Texans here, hence my comment that they had been invaded. They had declared themselves to be the Republic of Texas. And they had considered, and Mexico considered them to be a state that was actually in rebellion. So, but to your point, Davy Crockett was there, and he's not related to Jasmine.
So, who was James Arness? What Western TV show had James Arness in it?
Was that I think that was Gunsmoke. And if it's okay, not, my phones will light up.
Okay. Well, have a wonderful day. We love you guys.
Jim, thank you. Great hearing from you. Let's go to our good friend, Martha Zoller, one of the top radio hosts in the state of Georgia. WDUN is where her throne is. Queen Martha.
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm great. Staying dry here.
You know, it's interesting. We were going through President Trump was wondering if Jasmine Crockett was related to Davy Crockett, which has created all sorts of conversations, as you might imagine. But I want to talk about Georgia politics. And Martha, it's insane down there right now. It's just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I mean, so when Governor Kemp decided not to run for the Senate, what it did was create kind of a fruit basket turnover. People from other places deciding to run, people running for other offices that they hadn't planned to because of the offices that had opened up. So we're starting to see things settle down just a little bit now. We know kind of how these races are going to run out. We've got the couple of people at the top of the ticket running for governor. We may have another one get into that. Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State, may get into that governor's race. Then the Senate race has got three Republicans. It's got Mike Collins, who I would say right now is the front runner in the race. We've got Buddy Carter, who's also a congressman, who's from the 1st District, who's been working hard to get his name recognition all up and got a lot of his own money. But I would say he's in third place. And the fruit basket turnover happened when Governor Kemp got behind Derek Dooley, who's the son of Vince Dooley, as sort of an outsider candidate, sort of a David Perdue kind of candidate for Senate. Derek is a lawyer by trade. He's been a football coach. He's been back in Georgia for several years since the end of his coaching career. And I don't know him that well, and I'm not speaking out of school here. What I've told them is that his team, that we need to get to know him better. But I would say if the primary were held today, that because of name ID, it would probably be Mike Collins and Derek Dooley in a runoff.
There's been a lot of concern from folks about just the name recognition and the popularity of the candidate. And this has been a problem party-wide, I think. Martha is trying to find, you know, popular yet electable or appealing yet electable candidates. And in some cases, just hard to do. I mean, you've been covering politics here for a really long time. Who do you think is going to have the edge?
You know, I think that right now what we've got to know is what does Derek Dooley stand for. I mean, he did a great ad to introduce himself that came out yesterday. He talks about being a common sense conservative and being with Donald Trump and that sort of thing. But he doesn't really have a record. And so what he's got to do is convince the electorate that, you know, that he's the guy. But like I said, I think that Mike Collins has raised a lot of money. He has got a very big social media platform, which I think right now he is testing things to see what's going to work in an election, okay? Because social media is hard, you know, to know exactly what, you know, what impact it's going to have. But he's testing a lot of things. And I think that we're going to see what happens. So I'm not trying to avoid your question. It's just I think it's a two-man race right now between Derek Dooley and Mike Collins.
When you look at the Democrats, and a lot of people still can't figure out, you know, they have a hard time understanding how Georgia has two Democrat senators. Does Ossoff, does he have the popularity to win?
Well, he has. I will say, to say something nice, is he has very good constituent services. I will say that. But he is alienated. He's Jewish, but he has alienated his Jewish base, which there's a big Jewish population in Atlanta, and he has alienated the Jewish base by voting against Arms for Israel twice. He lost that vote. 18 senators, Democratic senators, voted against it a few months ago, and 27 voted against it last week. And he has got people in the Jewish community very mad at him, which is big in Atlanta, and it's big as far as money's concerned. His campaigning is very far left right now, because what he is trying to do is keep a opponent out of this race from his left. He doesn't want to siphon off any of the crazy Atlanta voters. And that's what he's trying to avoid right now. So far he has avoided an opponent. But again, qualifying is not until March. So you could have, who knows, somebody could come up at the last minute and qualify.
This is going to be interesting. Meanwhile, you've got Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene making headlines, saying that she feels like the Republican Party has left her. And a lot of Republicans, I think Mark Levin, chief among them, saying, don't let the door hit you. How are her comments going over in Georgia?
Yeah, she made a lot of comments about, you know, that maybe women aren't being treated fairly in the Republican Party. And she's all over the place, you know. And one of my biggest complaints about Marjorie Taylor Greene from the beginning is that she has, and again, I've had this conversation with her myself. She has a lot of experience running a third generation construction business, which is a man's world, okay? And she's been successful at it, and she never talks about it. She just recently has started talking about it. And I think that she could have had a much different view that people had of her if she talked more about her business experience and less about who she's mad at the moment. And we'll see what happens with that. But she's in the 14th district, which means she has that seat for as long as she wants it. It's a plus 22 or 23% Republican district. So as long as she runs, she's going to be safe. But I think she's pretty well excluded herself from any statewide office at this point in time.
Is that right? Just because of her demeanor, or is she not well known outside of her district?
Well, she's well known, but her negatives are really, really high. And I think that right now, I don't see her running for anything statewide. Now, she could change her mind by March and do something different. And it does seem like she's making a lot more noise about problems she has in the Republican Party. I don't think President Trump has said anything about it yet. But I don't think where I see President Trump getting involved is in Senate and House races. I don't think he's going to be as involved in governor's races. And what most people have been talking about her for is possibly running from the right in the governor's race.
Well, that would be, you know, it was interesting, Martha. I was doing the math here. If that happens, you could end up having a situation where you have Sarah Huckabee Sanders in Arkansas, Marsha Blackburn in Tennessee, I mean, MTG in Georgia, and of course, Kay Ivey is, she's term limited, so she's not running but you could have a situation where you could have many of the southern states with female governors.
Yeah, and I tell you, I just love watching Sarah Sanders. I mean, I think that she is doing such a great job as a governor. And, you know, I know our friend Joe McCutcheon likes to always say, who's going to be president? But I see her as the first female president.
Is that right?
Yes.
Martha, I'm writing this down. Sarah Sanders.
Okay. And it may not be in 28 because she's plenty young to wait. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I see her as being the person that's electable.
She's done a good job in Arkansas, and I'm a property owner in Arkansas, so I can tell you from that vantage point, she's doing a great job. Another person I've been really impressed with, and I know she got a little bit of blowback from the State of the Union rebuttal, but it's Katie Britt out of Alabama. Yeah. I think she's doing a good job.
She's super nice, too, and she is, you know, she's raised a family. She is, I mean, it's hard doing that State of the Union rebuttal. It's a big difference being in that big room, even if you're Joe Biden. Being in that big room makes you look better than having to sit in your kitchen and do it. But I like Katie Britt a lot. I've met her several times, and she actually really helped Mike Collins get the Laken Riley Act across the finish line in the Senate. And, you know, even though he was the champion of that from the day of her tragic death, he needed help in the Senate, and our Georgia senators did not step up and help him, but Katie Britt did.
Martha Zoller from our great affiliate WTUN, she's one of the top political pundits in the South. Can I call you the Southeast? I mean, really the nation, but you specialize in Southern politics.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I love accolades anywhere I get them.
You're the boss. Yeah. No. Before we let you go, though, I'm wondering how important is it going to be for the Republican Party nationally to win back that at least one of the Senate seats in Georgia?
We've got to win it back. And, you know, I ask this question all the time, that when you see Fetterman, who is from a swing state, who had one of those 52-48 wins, and you see him not being a 50-50 voter, but he is intellectually honest about the fact he's got a lot of Republican voters in his state, okay? What we've seen from both Warnock and Ossoff is 100% voting with the Democratic Party, and not only that, but taking very far left positions on the 80%, you know, issues that like trans boys in sports and all of those kinds of things. And I just, you know, the question I always ask is, don't you think if you come from a state where it's 51-49 or 52-48, that you ought to a little bit represent that in your voting record? But these two in Georgia have not. So we have to get him out. And here, let me leave you with something positive. Georgia's not afraid to turn out one-term senators. We have, in the last 25 years, we have gotten rid of two Democrats and two Republicans after one term when they didn't do their job. So I'm looking to add John Ossoff's name to that list.
Wow. All right. Well, we're going to be paying attention, Martha. It's an important state, and you're right. It's, look, I think the party is learning its lessons. We're kind of going, I don't know, through a change, a metamorphosis. Trump has changed the Republican Party, and we're just going to have to adjust and figure out how to win moving forward.
Well, and just like there was nobody that could be Ronald Reagan in the 20 years after, we had to do something different. Nobody's going to be Donald Trump. He is a once-in-a-lifetime type candidate. But you can have the ideas that Donald Trump had, and you can continue the work that he did. And that's what we need to be looking for going forward.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. All right, Martha, good hearing from you. And we'll be checking back in as the midterms loom.
Thank you, Todd.
The great Martha Zoller, everybody, on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And she is sharp and she knows her politics there in Georgia. I am curious from our Georgia listeners, who do you like in the race? Do you like Mike Collins for the Senate? Do you like Derek Dooley? Do you know enough about Derek Dooley? One of the lessons I think we should learn from the Herschel Walker situation is that even though Herschel had Trump's backing, Herschel was not a Georgia guy. He had, he just did not have the connection. So whoever that person is, they're going to have serious name recognition, serious roots in the Peach State. All right, our number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926, Daytona Beach, Florida. Gary is on the line. Hi, Gary. What's going on?
Hey, earlier you were talking about Jasmine Crockett, and I always laugh because when you hear these people and they'll remark about how much education they have and how they passed the bar and how many colleges and degrees they have. Before my father passed away, he used to always say, yep, just another educated idiot. And that always sticks with me when I hear some of these people brag upon themselves or want to try to interject on how smart they are. And that was my one comment. The other one was, I watched that Sydney Sweeney at the gun range, and I sure hope the NRA contacts her and signs her up or something. And, she was, I don't know if it was a SIG or a Glock, but she looked fairly impressive for a Hollywood type.
Yeah.
The gun range.
Yeah. She's good for her. And look, I'm one of these guys. I think every woman in America ought to know how to operate a firearm, especially with how dangerous it is on our streets.
Yeah. I don't think she'll have to worry about cancel culture. She seems
no.
to have it handled.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, American Eagle, this is kind of a fun story. If you've been to Times Square, you'll notice they have these massive billboards all over the place. And they actually had one of Sydney Sweeney, and it was massive and sort of in your face. So yet another reminder that American Eagle, they really don't care. They really don't care what the left says anymore, and they understand who's actually buying their blue jeans. Gary, thank you for that call. Again, 901-260-5926, our number. There's a lot of controversy in Memphis. We had the Bass Pro Shop, which is in the old pyramid. We used to call it the Tomb of Doom back when the Memphis Tigers played there. Anyway, the mayor of our city, who's a Democrat, clueless, he wanted to take the executive staff on a field trip so they could immerse themselves. So they spent over $18,000 in taxpayer money to get hotel rooms at the Bass Pro Shop, at the lodge. That it's insane. They spent almost $4,000, just this is like an overnight thing, almost $4,000 on meeting space and food. It's bizarre. Anyway, the Daily Memphian exposing the grift coming out of City Hall. Seems to me they could have just stayed it down, I don't know, at the Motel 6 or one of those seedy motels down by the airport, or maybe the local jail. Got to take a break. We'll be right back, everybody. Stick around.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Sorry, I'm somewhat mesmerized by the new Lizzo video that came out. I think she's off of the Ozempic. So Lizzo has a new... This is coming from Billboard. I am so far out of my comfort zone right now. Lizzo has apparently weighed in on the Sydney Sweeney American Eagle jeans ad, and she is... I think she parodied the ad earlier in the week with a photoshopped image of her body. And then she's got this new video coming out, which is too profane for me to repeat word for word on the radio or anywhere else in proper society for that matter. But anyway, this Sydney Sweeney story is just getting out of control now. And there's a great comparison on social media. Somebody sent this to me, and they said, according to the left, Beyonce with blonde hair, provocative pose, denim outfit is empowered and beautiful. But Sydney Sweeney with blonde hair, provocative pose, denim outfit is offensive and racist. And that pretty much describes where we are in American society right now. It's the craziest thing I've seen. One of the people that I trust to give us great guidance on the big culture issues of the day and how they play out in the political world is our good friend Josh Jones. Josh, good to have you. Good to have you with us today.
Good to be on, Todd. Thanks for having me.
So the Sydney Sweeney story, it's really sort of taken on a life of its own here. What do you think the overarching message of all of this is?
I mean, like you said, this is something that, I mean, beyond it being a good ad campaign, has totally been blown out of proportion by the left, that is. And like the point you just raised of, you know, Lizzo coming out essentially mocking the ad, is the left has just totally lost touch with what the average American is thinking on this. And also on top of that, how to run an effective ad campaign. Because if you look at the stock value of American Eagle in their sales, they're through the roof. They're sold out. So this is just simply a business move by American Eagle that, unfortunately, some on the left have taken and turned into a political circus.
Oh, they asked President Trump about it. It's kind of funny because he was playing coy at first until they said, you know, she's a registered Republican. He says, really? Oh, now I love her ad.
Exactly. I mean, great. I mean, that's one thing about President Trump, regardless of your politics, is he's a funny guy. I mean, I don't know if, you know, you saw this morning him on the roof of the White House yelling down at reporters taking questions, but the guy is funny.
So Trump also, by the way, and this could be a fun story to watch. This could be the bigger story coming out of all of this. We'll see how it goes. I think Trump is trying to play matchmaker with Sidney and Barron. And said, you never know. I mean,
you never know. I did. I haven't seen that from the president, but I did see some people tweeting about that earlier this week. So you never know.
You never know. And, you know, the sad thing is, Josh, that there's a good segment of this country that doesn't have a lick of common sense or a sense of humor. And I think we're finding out that most of them are registered with the Democrat Party right now. And I'm wondering, especially among younger Americans, how all of this is playing.
Yeah, I mean, the younger Americans, Gen Z, and then, you know, millennials as well. And then, I mean, now you're starting to get Gen Alpha. Granted, you know, they're still very, very young. But still, I think a lot of younger Americans are kind of fed up with this outrage culture that a lot of the Democrats spoke. I mean, example, the Sydney Sweeney, there was nothing wrong with that ad. It was a normal ad. Both the, you know, the person in it is a, you know, has a good record seemingly to the public. Nothing offensive was said in the ad or, you know, nothing provocative at all, really. And the left has just totally taken this and made it into this outrage culture issue that most young Americans are just not, they don't understand why or where that's coming from on the left. And I think you see that in a lot of polls of political identities when it comes to younger people. Gen Z is a very conservative generation overall. And I think this is part of it, of we've just been so embraced in this, for lack of better words, or surrounded by this our entire lives in the digital era, that people are exhausted of it and they want something different, or at least tune it out to those that, you know, do, you know, stoke this outrage culture and getting offended on behalf of others when nobody's offended.
Josh Jones joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. And Josh, I was on Instagram and I noticed a new account followed me. They call themselves the Young Right USA. They describe themselves Gen Z and Alpha. So is Alpha the group coming up after these guys?
Yeah, so Alpha is the young kids after Gen Z, which, I mean, it's just crazy that we're even at this phase, but yes, Alpha is the next in line.
Well, it's a fairly new page, and they've already got over 60,000 followers, and they say, we're making conservative cool again. And I'm looking through this, and, I mean, everybody is good-looking. They're water skiing with an American flag. They're football players. They're girls in bikinis on the beach in boats. And everybody's just having a blast. One of them says freedom's hot this summer, implying that, you know, if you're good looking, you're probably conservative, which is actually probably true, to be honest. But are we seeing a shift in culture and how the culture perceives conservatives?
Yeah, I think you are seeing that to a degree. And it's more of a bottom-up approach more than a top-down, because you look at a lot of influencers that are, you know, young or old at this point, kind of in the cultural entertainment side of things. A lot of them still are very left-wing, or at least, you know, leaning towards the Democratic point of view. I mean, if you look at a late show host, if you look at most of the hosts of morning, you know, news segments, still the top of the funnel, let's call it, is still very left-leaning or, you know, Democratic influence. But a lot of young people that are, you know, just now graduating from college or recently graduated from college, or, you know, getting ready to head into that space, they've been so just bombarded with this our entire lives growing up in the digital era that I think you're kind of seeing a correction or a course correction in the culture when it comes to conservatism, and like that page said, making it cool again, and making it more mainstream, because a lot of times the left tries to paint conservatives as out of touch, stuck in the past individuals, and that's just not the case. And it's just a desire to return to a sense of to an area of common sense.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really great analysis here. One of the others, there are these four young girls, young ladies in bikinis, college age, and the slogan is "Not sorry for loving America." And again, free. You know, when you, where's the other one here? Oh, here we go. Them colon. You guys are so fun. Us. Thanks. We're not liberals. I just again, we went through an era, really a decade, where people, especially young people, were terrified to let anybody know that they were conservative.
Yeah, no, you're 100% correct. And like I said, we really did go through about a decade of that. And you're kind of, I think you're seeing a course correction shift in the culture, and it's coming from young people of saying, wait a second, we've been force-fed this narrative for, you know, the last 10 to 15 years of our lives. And now that we're adults or getting ready to be adults and can actually form independent thoughts, I don't want to use the term waking up, but they're coming around to the idea that conservatism is in fact mainstream and is in fact something that can exist in the modern culture and society of America, and still be, you know, fun and cool and interesting. Because like I said, the left, especially those higher up on the entertainment side of things, try to make pink conservatives as boring, out of touch. You know, all they want to do is just sit around and do nothing and not have a culture. When that's not the case, it's just we want a common sense approach to our government and our society.
And that's it. Oh, I love this one. Being conservative is back in season. And I think that really kind of sums up the conversation. And I love it.
Yeah, totally.
All right. All right. Well, Josh, we'll let you get back to it. I guess, what are you doing this weekend? Water skiing with an American flag, you know, holding an American flag?
TBD. We'll see. Maybe I'll put it onto the docket.
All right. Well, send photos if you do. Josh, always good hearing from you, and have a great one.
Thanks, Todd.
All right. I think Josh is actually scheduled for the Newsmax show this evening, so we will continue the conversation then. All right, we've got to take a quick break, folks. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, word coming out late yesterday, President Trump is about to go after the banks who targeted conservatives and conservative businesses, and that is wonderful news. Here's the issue, though. You can't trust those banks anymore, and that's why I want to tell you about Old Glory Bank. They're not just any bank. It really is a bank built for people who love this great country and refuse to be silenced. When you put your money in Old Glory Bank, you're actually supporting an institution that will protect your privacy. Let me tell you something. Old Glory Bank's going to have your back. They're not going to cave to the cancel culture mob or political agendas. So I want you to go and check them out right now. OldGloryBank.com/Starnes. That's OldGloryBank.com/Starnes. Old Glory Bank was founded by our friends Dr. Ben Carson, Larry Elder, all sorts of great American patriots. Again, FDIC insured. OldGloryBank.com/Starnes. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go to Oakwood, Georgia. Tom wanted to weigh in on politics in Georgia. Hi there, Tom. What's on your mind?
Hi there, Todd. I'm a frequent caller, and I just wanted to touch a few bases after your interview with Martha Zoller. First and foremost, we have an establishment in Georgia. The state convention was a dumpster fire, and the establishment basically defrauded and stole it from the MAGA group by all kinds of things, and it was all orchestrated by the same people that have run the $140 million Ponzi scheme, the Frost family in Georgia. So you have to understand that Georgia isn't as cohesive as one would think. And in today, the establishment, which is the governor, the Secretary of State, and the Attorney General, are all establishment, and MAGA despises them. And
so,
none
so
of them
Tom,
get well, reelected today.
Well, hold on, because your governor, Brian Kemp, won in a pretty much a landslide for reelection.
Look at the opponent.
But still, he won in a landslide. I mean, if people were angry or upset, or if they thought he was are you saying that Brian Kemp is what, a rhino, or
pretty much a rhino? Okay. Oh, but I mean, he would epitomize the word rhino.
Okay. So who are your candidates, Tom?
Right today, I know Burt Jones. I really like Burt, but he's not. He's too soft on some issues. He was when he was a state senator, he was one that stood tall and wanted to talk about, non-certifying the election. Look at Carr, the secretary of the attorney general running for governor. He's a phony. Raffensperger, the secretary of state, is a bigger phony. I mean, these people are corrupt.
So I hear what you're saying, but here's my question. Okay, if they are all corrupt, so every elected Republican in Georgia is corrupt, except for the MAGA people, and they're pure as the driven snow. What happens if the MAGA candidates don't win the primaries? Do you still support? Do you vote for the Republican candidates, or only when the nominees you have determined meet your test?
I would say Georgia is at risk of losing even the state house. I'm talking to both chambers, because the MAGA group have been basically deserted for the establishment. And so I think the whole political Georgia being red or purple is at risk just because they have such supposedly Kemp is going to put $100 million into the Dooley campaign for that Senate seat. Dooley didn't even vote for Trump the last two elections.
So, again, who in the MAGA world, in the MAGA sphere there in Georgia, who is the deciding voice and who the righteous Republican nominees are?
I think it makes a difference on the race, but if the Georgia Republican Assembly, which is the conscience of the Republican Party in Georgia, I would say is probably more MAGA than any other group. But one of the Frosts was involved with the GRA, but they were the ones that orchestrated the fraudulent state convention.
Well, yeah, you're getting into the weeds now. We're a national radio show. I mean, I know about the Frost. I know about that controversy. But again, I think the overarching issue and the point I'm trying to get around to, Tom, is this, that all of you guys, MAGA, Rhino, establishment, whatever you want, everybody needs to get in a room and figure this out. Because when you guys are fighting with each other, Democrats win. And that's ultimately why you have two Democrat senators right now. And from what you just told me, and I believe that I see a lot of the reporting coming out of Georgia, and the Republican Party is messed up right now. And somebody's got to figure it out. And I'm going to say this about MAGA world. You guys are just as bad as the establishment. It's your way or the highway. The establishment says the same thing. It's their way or the highway. The rhinos, it's our way or the highway. We can't operate like that. There's got to be a little bit of give and take. And I'm not saying compromise your key values. But what I am saying is that if you keep messing around, you're going to get another 6 years of John Ossoff in the U.S. Senate. I mean, that's where all of this is going. And by the way, it's happening in other states as well. So got to get it together, people, because at the end of the day, we've got to stop these Democrats from destroying our country. And that's why I'm happy to see what's going on in Texas right now with Greg Abbott and Ken Paxton playing hardball. We will see if the FBI director sends in agents to round up all those Democrats. I hope they do. But, Tom, I appreciate your call, and I hear your concerns. But at the end of the day, we got to win, right? Look, I see this all the time over in Tennessee, and you've got ultra-conservative people, and it's their way or the highway. They are the only pure Republicans, and if you don't agree with them on every single minute issue, then you're a Democrat. I get that. I've been accused of being a Democrat. I'm still trying to come to terms with that. I don't know what they're smoking, but I may want some of that. But come on, I mean, there is also something called common sense in politics. But if that's how you want to play it, okay, Democrats are going to win, though. We'll be right back, everybody. All right, let's go to the phones. Morehead City, North Carolina. Lisa, what's on your mind, Lisa?
Good afternoon, Todd. I love your program.
Thank you.
You're welcome. There are plenty of sheiks and emirs and law enforcement that listen to your program daily, and they love it too. So first of all, let me apologize for my snippy disposition. I'm not mad at you. There was a subject that you had on earlier. As an XX chromosomed middle-aged individual, you XY chromosomed middle-aged individuals know how we can be sometimes, right? So we get snippy. My concern and my comment is about the subpoenas, and that I grew up in an era that if you got subpoenaed, you had to go. But evidently that has changed from my understanding. I'm not an academic. So, and as far as academia, basically, I'm a functionally illiterate adult, a moron, an idiot, hopefully at best an 80 IQ. And when my president, my elected president, calls me weak and tells me that
stupid. It insults my limited education. So I think our biggest battle right now, and we need to choose our battles, forget about subpoenas, forget about Sweeney's, forget about tariffs, forget about immigration. If our country is on the, if we're starting to accept child rape as okay, then we are, the rest of it is irrelevant. And that is a major issue for most of MAGA. I'm an independent, but most of the country, Democrats, Republicans, I would think that probably on the Epstein's list, the elites, I don't think they're going to have a problem. I'm just thinking that it's probably law enforcement that turned their head to allow the elites to rape children. And that's the reason why nobody wants to discuss it. It's the elephant in the room, and this other stuff is a distraction. We need to focus. We need to have that conversation first. And if that conversation suggests that we are okay with this behavior, then we're, then it's over.
That's yeah. It. So, Lisa, look, I don't think you were snippy at all. I think, like a lot of people, you were frustrated. I've been frustrated with the fact that the Epstein list have not been released. We know they have them, right? It's, and they're insulting our intelligence. Whenever they get up there and they say, oh, well, you know, all the files are gone or they've been corrupted. No, they haven't. You've got the files. You just don't want to release the information. So at that point, you have to wonder, okay, what's really going on here? Now, as far as the subpoenas go, I have no earthly idea why people like Jeff Sessions and Merrick Garland and the Clintons are being subpoenaed to Capitol. I don't get it. I think if they do violate the subpoena, I think they should suffer the full force of the law. But I'm not looking forward to another show hearing. I at this point, we need action. So if they're not going to be arresting people, and they've got all the evidence they need, so if they're not going to start arresting people, what's the point of all of this?
Right.
If that makes any sense. It's frustrating and infuriating, and I don't believe for a minute that President Trump is implicated in anything. I don't. And if it is in there, that means it was inserted. Otherwise, this would have been leaked years ago. Years ago, because they've been looking for dirt on Donald Trump for decades, and they haven't found it. So they, you know, fine, they made something up. Okay. But, you know, to arrest somebody like Ghislaine Maxwell, and she's serving time in prison now, for what? Something she didn't do, for crimes that did not occur? You can't have it both ways.
Well, I think it's highly – now we realize that, you know, we may not know the whole story about everything. You know, I don't know what's going on anymore. I don't trust anything that I hear. She may be an innocent person. I don't think so, because there's plenty of victims that say that she is not. However, for President Trump to call me weak when I am not weak, it insults my intelligence. And I don't care what type of strategy. Again, I'm functionally illiterate. If there was some type of strategy or for him to say something, he totally went down the wrong road with it. He listened to the wrong people when he did that.
What do you want the president to do here? What does the administration need to do?
Well, give us the list yesterday.
They
know exactly what they need to do.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
He messed up was calling people like me weak. He made a big mistake. And whoever told him to do that, they made a big mistake. So, you know, if we don't tackle this one problem, that's a major battle. That's in my belief system. It goes against God's belief, and I believe in God. So, and there are people that do not. I understand that. But as a civilized society, if we are starting to say that it is okay to rape children, you know, and the trans stuff and, you know, doing that other, all of that, it falls under the same category, then we are, can I say screwed?
Yeah, sorry, no, you can say that. No, it's fine. Yeah, you're good.
I think that is the major battle as far as I'm concerned.
All right. Lisa, thank you for calling in. And I do not disagree with Lisa at all. And I think that the president was not, I don't believe President Trump is being well served by some people within his inner circle right now. And I'm not ready to go out and name names just yet. But it's troubling, and they are isolating this president from the media. They are using Fox News as the exclusive channel to get news and information out. That is troubling. Fox News. Again, I don't have a problem with Fox, but there needs to be greater accountability than just showing up on Fox News Channel. And if the president's getting advice from some of those celebrities on Fox News, that's a problem. Because a lot of those folks are make-believe conservatives in the first place. But yeah, I do think he should release the list. He said he was going to do it. And I believe the president to be a man of his word. Let's see how all this plays out. I will say this about the hearings and the subpoenas. Yeah, they've got to be issued. They've got to be honored. I'm not quite sure why we're doing it, right? They've got all the evidence they need. That's all I'm trying to say. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This story out of the New York Times. The Trump administration will reinstall a Confederate statue in Washington. Oh, this is going to drive people nuts. The statue, it's the only statue that had honored a Confederate official in the U.S. Capitol after demonstrators toppled it and set it on fire during the Black Lives Matter riots in 2020. I had to fix that for the Times. They called them protests. They were riots. The defaced statue depicts Albert Pike, a Confederate diplomat and general who worked closely with Native Americans from slave-owning tribes that cited, wait, Well, according to the New York Times, there were Native Americans who had slaves. Well, wait a second. Where is that in the history books? I thought we were told that the Native Americans, the Indians, Pocahontas, et al., were very peace-loving people who were vegetarians, and they frolicked about in the daisies. They danced with the bison. They sang songs and lived in peace and harmony, like the Coca-Cola commercial. I thought that's what the... Are you telling me now that Native Americans owned slaves? Hush your mouth, child. Hush your mouth. Anyway, let's continue. It turns out Albert Pike, in addition to being a Confederate general, was a member of the Freemasons, which is really bad. The 11-foot-tall bronze statue of Mr. Pike had been in storage since it was toppled from its perch near the Capitol grounds 5 years ago. The monument's inscriptions did not directly mention his ties to the Confederacy, and the statue itself depicts him as a leader to the Freemasons. But again, I'm not surprised by this, because if you had any, say, if you had any relatives, if you had any ancestors at all that were somehow connected to the Confederacy, well, you're tainted for life. I mean, it's your DNA. Bad genes. So, good news. They're putting the statues back up, and I wish they would do that to what used to be a beautiful area of Richmond, Virginia, that has been desecrated to appease these culture jihadists out there. The people that are tearing down the statues and renaming streets and parks and burning books, these people are worse than the Islamists, in my estimation. All right, 901-260-5926. If you follow Homeland Security on X, you got to go check out what they just posted. It's a South Park cartoon image of ICE agents, masked ICE agents, getting ready to raid somebody. This is brilliant. Oh, I wanted to get your take on this. Yesterday, and this came out, did not get a lot of publicity, and I think it should. 12 states have now received waivers from the Department of Agriculture to restrict the use of SNAP benefits. So as it now stands, if you have what they used to call food stamps, you could buy Coca-Cola, Snickers bars, Butterfingers, the Baby Ruths. You could buy all of that stuff using your SNAP card, your EBT card, pardon me. Well, now the Health and Human Services Department coming out and U.S. Food and Drug Administration, and they're saying, okay, we're going to stop people who are using SNAP benefits from getting these sodas and very unhealthy food. So for years, SNAP used tax dollars to fund soda and candy. And now Secretary Kennedy says the waivers help put real food back at the center of the program and empower states to lead the charge in protecting public health. You think that's a good idea, ladies and gentlemen? Do you think the government has a right to come in and say, you know what, if you're going to be on food stamps, you're not allowed to buy unhealthy food? Do you believe that is a good move by the federal government here? By the way, how come Tennessee isn't on the waiver list? That's what I want to know. I mean, out of all of the states, quite frankly, every southern state ought to be on there. We're a bit porky down here in Dixie. I mean, it is what it is. You know, we know how to eat well. The SNAP waivers for West Virginia, Florida, Colorado, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and Texas. Those are the ones that are impacted here. Well, I think it's a great idea. And again, you ought to be feeding your kids healthy food. And if you're on some sort of a limited income, you want to make sure they're getting nutritious food. I mean, that's just common sense. But how many times have we seen people on the lines and they got, you know, the big old 2 liters? It's always the strawberry. They got the strawberry. They got the orange. They got the grape soda. And then you got all of the other snacks. You ever had a Baby Ruth there, Dylan?
Is that the candy bar or the baseball player?
No, that's the candy bar.
I haven't had one.
You ever seen Caddyshack?
No.
You haven't?
Look, I have a list still that I'm going through slowly.
What is wrong with you?
So they're on the list.
All right. So there's a great image. There's a great scene in Caddyshack where they're at the pool at the country club, and all of a sudden you hear the Jaws theme music. Bomb, 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 bomb. And people are like, you know, the pool is just filled with people, and all of a sudden there it is. They see it. Somebody did a number two in the pool. And so as they're cleaning the pool, after it's all like completely emptied of people and water, they realize, oh, it was a Baby Ruth. To this day, I can't eat Baby Ruths.
Yeah, I can imagine.
That's like been, 30, 40 years. I can't eat a Baby Ruth. It is terrible. All right, we got to take a break here, folks. Again, Caddyshack aside, do you think it's a good idea that the government steps in and says, hey, if you're on food stamps, you're going to have to really watch your diet? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Dylan, I see you laughing. Did you see that? I sent you a couple of YouTube videos from Caddyshack.
I feel like I've got the full gist of how the movie will go.
That's pretty much that pool scene. But Rodney Dangerfield, I mean, you had, it was Bill Murray, Rodney Dangerfield. You had Chevy Chase in that movie. It was an all-star cast.
Yeah, those are some of the funniest people in it. I mean, I've only seen the Christmas movies with those people in it, unfortunately, so I'll have to catch up on Caddyshack.
Whatever you do, don't watch the sequel. Just stick with the original.
Yeah.
It's, you know, they love to do that. Like Anchorman 2? Nah.
Liked Anchorman 2.
Did you really?
I did. I'm one of those few people that enjoyed the sequel, maybe a little bit more.
Wow. I was giving a speech. I was speaking to the San Diego Republican Party, and I literally got up, and I don't know why I did this. I said, hello, San Diego.
Did they understand?
Oh, yeah. Okay, they got it there. I don't understand. There are a couple of people, you know, the older crowd.
True, yeah.
We don't understand. Whale's vagina. Anyway. Classic. Great movie. Classic movie. Let's go to Mike, Clear Lake City, Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Well, yeah, I agree with you and what RFK Jr. is doing, because SNAP is an acronym for Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program. It's not supposed to be for soda pop and cookies and candy. It's supposed to be people from a lower, you know, income level getting, you know, healthy, nutritious food.
I remember, Mike, I don't know what your growing up years were like. My dad's job relied a lot on the oil industry. He was an electrician. And in the 80s, when the oil industry went belly up, times got really tough. And, you know, there were moments when, guess what? We couldn't have dessert. So, you know what we did? We went without.
Well, yeah, if they want to buy that stuff, then they should use their own money.
That's right.
Job. You know, not use the government's money. I mean, that's really our money when you think about it.
It's coming from the taxpayers. And again, I go back to this idea that charity should be coming from the churches and the Christian community and not mandated through government taxation.
Amen, brother.
Always felt like that. I know people think that's I'm unkind or uncaring. It's the exact opposite of that. And we'll get in, Mike, appreciate the call. We'll get into that maybe this week, because when you look at all the problems, and I know Vivek Ramaswamy touched on this, and we'll talk about this tomorrow. There's so much audio I didn't even get to, but the reality of it is this, and Vivek was right. He was doing a town hall last night in Cincinnati. He said the problem is not poverty. The problem is the government destroyed the family. And we allowed the government to destroy the family. And that goes all the way back to LBJ and this great society that LBJ wanted to create. It is not a great society. He literally destroyed the American family for a large swath of the population. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Again, don't forget, 5 o'clock tonight on Newsmax, the Todd Stern Show. Be sure to watch. Also, head over to our website if you haven't done so. Check out our great stories. I have a take on the new rendition of Jesus Christ Superstar. You're going to want to read that, again, over at toddstearns.com. Also, you'll be able to download our podcast and our newsletter, free resources just for you, available again at toddstearns.com. All right, folks, we've got to scoot out of here. Have a great one. You be good, America.